morning, everybody. Welcome to this morning's service, led for us today by Steve Gregory. Just because we've got no printed notices today, you might have all seen the email Karen sends around, but just got a few extra notices because of that. We've got some catalogues for Tradecraft. They're out on the table in the foyer. There's an order form inside. If you want anything, please give the order and money to any steward. Orders need to be prompt if required for Christmas. A big thank you to everyone who helped in any way at the Christmas fair yesterday. We had a really busy day, well supported by our local community. The final total is not known, as there's more to come in, but so far we've raised £1,345. Yeah. We were all very sorry to hear about Mr. Leslie Ross's passing away, and his family and friends are in our thoughts and prayers. His funeral will be on Wednesday, December the 8th at 11 o'clock, and the Wellness Cafe will be closed that day. In the foyer, as you come in, the prayer diary, the December sphere, and an Advent poster is available for you to take if you want one. And I think hand over to Dom now. He's got some extra bits.
Yeah, just help him with one or two more of the notices.
Hello. Yeah, as Desley indicated, there's one or two things for you to look at and pick up in the foyer. On the email that Karen sent last night, there's an e-copy of the December services around the circuit, including ours. They're not all the services that are on the plan, but it's got all the Christmas services on. Bamber Bridge is in there. There's a limited number of copies in the foyer, so if you can read it off your email, that's better. But if you need to pick one of those up for yourself or someone who needs one, collect one on the way out. Again, in the email is information about the prayer chain. Anyone who wants to be on the prayer chain and be part of it, Carol Poole is now our contact for that. I have a phone number if you see Carol after, if you need a phone number for that or any details. And on behalf of my wife, she says, I have to say that on Sunday morning, the 19th of December, what? No. Stealing my moment in the sun. The 19th of December is a local arrangement here at Bamber Bridge. We don't have an appointed preacher. Cass coordinating the service, and she's come up with a plan. She's sure that many of you have favourite readings, poems and songs on a Christmas theme. So if you would like to be able to share them in the service, or if you have something and you don't feel able to read it aloud, someone else could share it for you, can you let Kath know? So that's readings, poems and songs and carols. Okay, thank you very much.
And do they say, and finally... last week, we spent some time during the service talking about our new arrangements for pastoral support. And also, by now, all of you should have received in one form or another a letter from Karen explaining those arrangements and also explaining that we need to comply with that dreadly thing called GDPR. We are required by law to review the data which we hold on everybody. And on the back of the form, there is various options for you to fill in. If you don't fill the form in, we're not allowed by law to keep any of your personal contact details. So if you'd like a copy of the notices sent you by email, we need your email address, and so it goes on. We have set a target of trying to complete this by the 5th of December. And after that date, if you receive a copy of the church notices every week by email, I shall delete you from the list, because I'm looking after the email list for church notices while Karen's away. And any other notices that I'm asked to circulate, I'll do the same way. So thank you very much.
Right. We'll just have a short time of prayer before the service begins. Oh, sorry, just forgot one thing. On Thursday at the Wellness Cafe, there'll be a lunch. So, you know, if you want to come along to that, it'll be the usual soup, sandwiches and cake. Thank you. Let us pray. In this advent of expectation, draw us near in unity, that our praise and worship might echo in these walls and also through our lives. In this advent of expectation, draw us together in mission, that the hope within might be the song we sing and the melody of our lives. In this advent of expectation, draw us together in service, that the path we follow might lead us from a stable to a glimpse of eternity. Amen.
And now Linda and the children are going to come and light our first Advent candle of 2021.
This Advent journey is a busy one, so much to do and sort out, the list seems endless.
Today we pause on our journey, stepping aside from all the distractions of Christmas preparation and focusing on the one who is at the centre of our worship.
We light the candle, reminding us to trust in Jesus.
Loving God, be with us on our Advent journey as we journey to the stable to welcome the Christ child. May we also journey into a deeper relationship with you. Be with us each step of the way. Amen.
Linda and Jaden, Ava and Stanley, we've lit our Advent candle. We begin our service this morning by singing together number 264 in Singing the Faith. It's up on the screen. Make way, for Christ the King in splendour arrives.
Make way for Christ the King in splendor arrives. Fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives. Make way for the King of Kings, for the King of Kings. Make way. The prisoners to free, the deaf shall hear, the lame shall dance, the blind shall see. Make way for the King of Kings, for the King of Kings. Make way. King of Kings. Make way, make way, and let his kingdom in.
Please sit down. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father God, as we come on this first Sunday in Advent, traditionally the first Sunday of the new Christian year, we come to make way for you in our lives. We come with different backgrounds, different emotions, some who mourn with heavy hearts, some who are leaping with joy, some who have so much to be thankful for. And yet we come to worship you, our Lord and our Saviour. Father God, as we come this Advent Sunday, we pray that we will make way for you in our hearts. That as we journey through Advent together, you will be at the centre. Through the busy preparations that we have for Christmas, we will make time and space to really understand what Christmas is all about. We come to worship you. And this morning, Lord, as we worship you together, we pray that we will draw close to you. We know that you are already here, Lord. And we pray that in our hearts we will recognize that and understand that you are so close to us. Father God, we worship and praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Steve now. We'll do that.
Of Advent, and the theme very much this morning is really sort of reflecting upon some of Paul's challenges and Jesus' challenges to us about looking to the future and the way that we should respond. A few months ago, I was preaching in West Preston at Ashton. Get the right way of doing it. For a joint service for the three churches that are now West Preston. And as part of it, earlier in the week, I'd actually been in Ashton one day or a couple of days in the earlier part of the week doing different jobs and things like that needed doing. And one thing in particular noticed was on a Tuesday morning, I think it was, I'd been and fixed the toilets, one of those things you do as a property steward, isn't it, yeah? And as I was leaving, one of the older ladies in the congregation arrived about an hour or so early for the luncheon club that takes place. When I say June is one of the older ladies, she's 93, yeah? I said, well, what are you doing coming so early? And she says, well, what I do is that I come and meet for an hour before we have our lunch with an asylum seeker, and I do his English lesson. And I said, well, how come you do it at Ashton rather than wherever? She says, well, I help normally with the English lessons anyway, but this man is actually from Iraq, and his family are still in Iraq, and they're stuck. Yeah, and basically he finds it quite difficult amongst other people, so doing his English bit, because he's really, you know, quite worried about what his family is actually at. So I said, I make this special effort to meet him once a week and we do the English lesson. And I thought, well, I'd actually seen once or twice June doing this English lesson. And so as part of the service I was taking the following Sunday, I mentioned that I'd seen not just June, but a few other people doing things sort of around the church. And I sort of mentioned about what June had actually been doing. And she came to me afterwards and she said, "You know, I can't ever remember being mentioned in a church service before." And I thought, what a shame. You know, there is this lady who has got a whole life's history of service to God and to the church. And most people hadn't seen what she was doing in terms of her English lessons with her asylum seekers and things like that. And as she was doing it, she was bringing and sharing God's love with somebody in need. And it just made me wonder sometimes. I reckon there's quite a few of you in here who are just like that. You do the things and nobody notices. Sometimes you might think, I wonder if anybody else noticed. But I suspect you just do it because that's where you feel God is calling you to be. And what you're calling God, what you feel God is calling you to do. And I just want to encourage us all, as we're thinking about Advent, as we're thinking about God's coming into the world, especially thinking about the second coming of Jesus, that our lives, in whatever we do, may be handed over to Him, that His glory may be seen by the world as an example of God's love. Right, we're going to sing again, number 242. And I think you're going to have a few helpers, aren't you, there? You're not going to stand by yourself. Number 242, "A New Commandment I Give Unto You."
"A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this
The children at the back are making some Advent rings, and at the end of the service, I'm hoping that they'll be able to come and to show us what they've been doing. Okay.
Right. The first reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 to 13, and taken from the Living Bible. How can we thank God enough for you and for the joy and the delight that you have given us in our prayers for you? For night and day we pray on and on for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill up any little cracks there may yet be in your faith. May God our Father himself and our Lord Jesus send us back to you again. And may the Lord make your love grow and overflow for each other and to everyone else, just as our love does towards you. This will result in your hearts being made strong, sinless, and holy by God our Father, so that you may stand before him guiltless on that day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns to all of those who belong to him. Thanks be for the word of God.
The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 21 and verses 25 to 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see them for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
The passage is very much about God sort of promising a future. I don't know if you ever thought about what the history of Advent actually is. If you go back to the 4th and 5th centuries, the purpose of Advent was about preparing for baptism of new Christians. So that the 4 weeks that we traditionally think of Advent, actually in those days it was slightly longer, was about a time of preparation for welcoming new Christians into the church round about the time of Christmas. In the Middle Ages, the thoughts around during Advent had moved on in many respects, and it was very much about the coming, or the second coming, of Christ. And that was the focus, and maybe it still is our traditional focus of what Advent is about. But if we're honest, we've probably shifted our thinking about Advent these days to more about sort of preparing for the Nativity. We sort of see it as a time of preparing for Christmas rather than a time of reflecting upon God's second coming. And if you think about Advent in the world, it's very much a time of encouraging us to spend money in the shops, isn't it? You know, we've had Black Friday just a couple of days ago, and apparently Monday's Cyber Monday or something like that. And it's all about spending money, as if that is what Christmas is actually about. But as we think about the way that Advent has sort of evolved over the centuries, it very much challenges about the way that we reflect upon the second coming of Christ. In the passage that we read from Luke's Gospel, Jesus is reflecting in part upon the end times. And it's easy, isn't it, for people of all generations to think that we live in difficult times. It's just over a week ago that we had that terrorist threat in, 2 weeks ago, the terrorist threat in Liverpool, you know, with a bomber who was blown up outside the hospital. We saw that young girl, aged 12, murdered on the streets of Liverpool on, was it Friday night? Yeah, and we think, gosh, how does something like that actually happen? We're going through difficulties in times of COVID. And, you know, many of us have had it and have gone through that difficulty, but perhaps people are still struggling with it. We found out yesterday that my future son-in-law is in hospital in Manchester because they think he's had a reaction to the Pfizer jab that he had quite a few months ago. And they're sort of going through different sort of tests upon it. And they said, well, we're going to keep him in a bit longer because Pfizer are paying for the tests and we want to find out as much information out about him as possible. Yeah? But he's doing well. He's recovering. Well, we see the situations with the asylum seekers. And we see those lives that were lost in the Channel in this past week. And the thousands of people who are desperate to leave different parts of the world in want of a better life. And if we were struggling in Syria or Iraq or wherever, I'm sure we would be the same and thinking, how do we get to something that is better? And we look at the mess with distribution and things around the country. You might not get those Christmas presents that you've ordered anyway. And we think, gosh, isn't things hard? I look back at sermons I preached in the past upon this Sunday. And I sort of looked at different things that I quoted of things that were going wrong. And it's not as if this year is any different to any other year. There are things in our world that are not good and things that we perhaps feel a bit worried about. And it got me thinking about things that had happened on the 28th of November in previous years. I'm not going to ask you to guess. But in 1582, did you know that William Shakespeare married Anne Hathaway? Did you really want to know? No. Okay. But in 1916, and this sort of fits with part of our theme, it was the first German air raid on London in 1916. You think, gosh, how frightening that must have been. 3 years later, in 1919, Lady Astor became the first woman to sit in the British House of Commons. Gosh, think 3 years from a bombing to something like that, that just over 100 years ago. And in 1943, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, and Joseph Stalin met at the Tehran Conference about planning the invasion of Europe. How would we have felt on some of those days? Some of them may have made us feel happy. Some of them may have been events that made us feel quite sad and quite worried about the future. If we think of other things that are going on today, how many times have you had those frustrating scam phone calls or emails? Yeah? Do you ever feel tempted on the phone calls where you want to say to them, is your mother proud of you? Yeah? And try and sort of embarrass them into what they're doing. I did that once to someone. He said, but it's only a job. I said, yeah, but... Why do we do some of these things? What is it about man's inhumanity to man? What is it about the despair that we sometimes feel? Sometimes when we look about the way that we actually treat each other, we take the let us eat and drink for tomorrow we die approach, don't we? That whatever we do, it's okay, we can get on with it. We think of those traffickers who are making money about sending people across the Channel from France to the UK without a single care for their safety. We see different situations week by week where people abuse the power that they have and they treat people with complete contempt. Do you remember the God Knows poem that was written by a lady called Minnie Louise Haskins? It was made famous in 1939 when King George VI used it as part of his Christmas Day message. And this is the bit that he used. "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way.' So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me towards the hills and the breaking of day in the lone east." God promising a future. The kingdom of God is about to come. For King George in 1939, that was something he wanted to share with the British people, with the people from around the empire as it would be in those days, the Commonwealth as we reflect upon today, that whilst times are hard, focus on that big thing. That is the kingdom of God and God's love and God's purpose for us all. God tells us that there will be signs. And whilst we're told that there will be signs, it's very easy to get caught up in what those signs may be. There are many people who treat it almost like a mathematical equation, aren't they? I will take this clue and that clue and what all the rest of it, and it will be at this hour on this day. But Jesus and Paul point out to us that we don't know the time, that we need to be ready at all times. So why bother with the fancy equation? And Paul, as he's writing to these people in Thessalonica, he thanks God for the joy that and their growth in him. He wants to be with them. He wants to share with them that he can teach and encourage them in their Christian faith. But when Paul offers these bits of praise, you often feel that the but is coming, don't you? Often we're the same, aren't we? If I say something nice to my wife, she's sometimes worried about what's going to follow. Maybe you're the same. But the but for Paul, as he speaks to the people, is that he wants them to love and to grow in love. Love for each other, love for the world. For Paul, as he's sharing with the people, he is saying it's about loving. It's about following God's example in the way that you love. But how often do we emphasize our differences? How often do we emphasize the do-nots? I'm involved in an ecumenical partnership and a food bank. And it's good, as I was reading your notices, to spot that you've got something very similar sort of going on in Bamber Bridge. A thing called Sherry, which works within the Ingle and Tanderton sort of communities. And we're based in the Catholic Church, and the volunteers are from the Catholics, the Methodists, and the Church of England. And we work that together. And one of the things we found sort of in due to Sherry is that we changed the way that we did our rota. It used to be that different churches did the rota on different days, but we found that was just impossible, so we came with a rota that mixed everybody. And so the Methodists now talk to the Anglicans, and the Anglicans talk to the Catholics, and the Catholics talk to the Methodists. It's marvellous. And we had a conversation not so long ago, and we said, do we go back to the old way? And we all went, no! Because sometimes we can focus upon those things that are different rather than the things that are important. And what's important is that we meet the needs of the community around us. And we see that message from Paul. For when Paul is here talking to the Thessalonican church, he is validating the ministry of what they're doing. He's saying that he sees that they are loving in the way that God loves, that they are sharing in the way that God shares. And how often when we come to describe each other, do we see the opposites? I don't know why they do. Why are they different? Paul is seeking that people may be restored, that there may be a change, and there may be this growth in love. And as we reflect upon this growth in love, we might think a bit about how do we respond? What are the things that we need to do? There's a danger that that sounds as though what I'm saying is you must try harder. I don't know about you, but being told that I must try harder is one of those ways that I'm guaranteed to fail. Yeah? I remember aged, 14 at school, choosing my O-levels in those days, GCSEs or whatever they're called these days. And I had this bright idea that I should choose French as a subject. I should have a foreign language. And I got called into the headmaster's office to see Mr. Burrell. And I thought, oh, heck, what have I done now? Stephen, he says, I see you've chosen French for your O-levels. Yes, sir, I thought it'd be good to have a language. He says, Stephen, I think it'd be better to take an O-level that you might pass. I said, thank you, sir. So I did geography instead. And I passed. Yeah, never mind. Doing more of the same things, maybe just even the things that may seem right, may not be enough. Being told to do more may cause us to walk away. Paul prays that the Lord may make your love grow. Not in us, but in him. That his love in him may grow and we may share that love with the world of which we are part. And in many ways, Paul is talking about us being whole as Christian people. As people who have at the very onset of our being that desire to love and to care. In many ways, it lifts a weight from our shoulders, allowing us to be the people that God wants us to be. And if you look right at the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning of Genesis, you see that relationships are very important. Relationship with God and relationship with each other. Being in relationship with each other and with God is where it all starts. As we reflect upon Christ coming again, it's not about thinking about a date in the future, but it's about a life that is given to love, that whenever Christ comes, we are ready. And as we think about our Advent journey, are the questions that we are seeking answers to? Are the things that we look at in the world and we're saying, Lord, how do we respond to this? As we think about the asylum seekers struggling in the Channel, as we think about the way that we welcome them or don't welcome them when they arrive upon our shores, as we think about our personal faith and our relationships with each other, what questions are we seeking answers for? When Jesus told that parable of the fig tree, he looked at it and he saw the life coming afresh into it. And he saw it as a sign of hope. A reminder of God's presence in creation. A reminder to us that God is with us, loving and caring for us wherever we are. As I told that little story at the beginning about June and the way she cared for that in that English lesson. That sign of hope that God is present and caring. As we think about God's coming, we know he's already here. And it's about living our life in love. It's about engaging with him in prayer. It's about the relationship that we have with God. That the buds of summer, the buds of hope, may begin to grow. It's not about our structures or the way that we are. It's about the way that we love and the way that we care. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I just said to them, you know, as I'm getting older, I think I'm becoming a little bit more ecumenical. I think I couldn't care less in many ways, well, I can, but you know what I mean, about the differences. What I care about is about loving and caring, about sharing God's good news that in Jesus we are loved, and in Jesus we love. And as we reflect upon this Advent journey, may it for us be a journey of discerning, a journey of confirming that the way we live is the way that God has called us to love. Amen. Our next hymn is from Singing the Faith, is number 507. Oh, for a heart to praise my God. I wonder if I'd asked you at the start of singing that hymn, which of those definitions of the heart would actually sort of feel most warm to you? In the verse 4, isn't it? Perfect and right and pure and good, a copy, Lord, of thine. We're going to share in our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to reflect upon you, upon your love for us, as we think about what it is to respond in your name, remember the challenge to love, for a heart to be like your heart, a copy of your love for the world. reflect, Lord, upon those people trying to cross the channel at the moment. Numbers growing. People in search of a better life. Many of us have felt a need for change. Maybe not to that level of extremity, but to see change. And as we reflect upon the world and upon our leaders and upon each of us, as we respond to people who seek change in their lives, may we in love be ready to meet people in their need. May we in love seek to serve you in the way that we welcome others. We think, Lord, of the ongoing COVID crisis. We think of this new variant that has been announced in recent days. The uncertainty of the scientists about what the impact will be. The fears in the lives of many about potential restrictions in the way that we live. For our governments, for our scientists, for those who work in healthcare, we pray for wisdom and love. We pray for strength, that together we may see an end to this difficult time. As we reflect upon Advent, a time of reflecting upon your coming, we reflect upon the way that we serve you. And we pray for your church throughout the world. That in love, we may love as you love us. We reflect upon those who we know who are not well. For those who are going through difficult times. For those for whom life is a burden, who see no end to the difficulties that they face. And as we raise our prayer, we pray that you, in your healing hand, in your peace and grace, may reach out to those in need. And Lord, as we reflect upon ourselves, you know the challenge that we face. You know what stops us sometimes from caring and loving. And we pray that as we come before you, as we offer our whole being to you, that through your Holy Spirit, we will be strengthened as your people to live for your purpose. Amen. Well, would you like to see some candles? Are we going to come and bring some of your candles forwards? Go on then. You're not quite finished. Oh, that's... Come on, let's have a look.
Been making the candles, so you've got to do four candles and one white one in the middle, and then you cut out the little holly leaves and you stick them around.
It looks brilliant, does that? Yeah, that's good, yeah. And you've got the same, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really good. It's good. And you've got the same? Yours is nearly there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have we just finished a bit too quick for you? Maybe I've got to preach another 10 minutes. Yeah, what do you reckon? That looks really good. So what I'm going to do is, if you go and walk those back, one of you goes down the middle, one of you goes down each of the sides and show everybody what you've been making. Okay?
We join together in our final hymn. Sing with the King who is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation his empire shall bring. Joy to the nations when Jesus is King. Number 185. grace with each other. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.